Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hi there, and thanks a lot for joining me again today. I really do appreciate it. Hope you're having a great weekend. Lots to talk about coming up over the next hour, including the latest on the monkeypox outbreak in the St. Louis area. We'll get an update on breast cancer treatments, and we'll find out about a rare form of skin cancer called Merkel cell carcinoma. But first, let's start the show the way we always do with our co-host, Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Always my pleasure, Fred.
So we got a dire warning this past week from Dr. Anthony Fauci. Here, listen to what he said.
We should anticipate that we very well may get another variant that would emerge that would elude the immune response that we've gotten from infection and or from vaccination.
What do you think of that?
Well, that stands to good reason, right? I mean, we've seen this now three or four times. And, you know, I think Dr. Fauci, like every good doctor, you know, plans for the worst and hopes for the best. So I think the fact we've seen as people get different vaccines, there's what we call evolutionary selection pressures. So like the strain of the virus that is susceptible or at least like kind of protected by the vaccine that we have available is kind of forced. It's not able to replicate as quickly. And then others that have different mutations are less susceptible to the vaccine, the effects of the vaccine, start to spread more. And as we kind of, I've talked about this before, Fred, it's like playing whack-a-mole. So you just don't know as people get more vaccinations, as more people get infected and have developed immunity, these different strains of COVID, you know, we're still in kind of the throes or dealing with the Omicron variants. It is very possible that another one pops up. And so far, it's been the fact that, you know, there's been strains of virus that seems to have a higher infectivity rate. But, you know, we're certainly not dealing with the mortality that we saw with the first strain of COVID-19, you know, way back in 2020, you know, both with that and the virus late in the winter of 2020 and the Delta variant later on. But you don't know. It could be it's even more mild and less of a problem than it's been before. Or it could be something more severe. And your guess is as good as mine. Dr. Fauci's guess is as good as yours. And you know, I think we just have to wait and see. We need to be prepared such that if there are a surge of cases and fatalities and ICU admissions, that we can at least try to accommodate that. And I think, you know, preparing for that piece of business is smarter than just saying, well, probably no big deal and let's just ignore it. That's not good business. You heard me talk before, Fred. I'd say my biggest concern, if it is a more severe form, I'm worried about the healthcare system's ability to resiliently deal with this. So the problem may not be so much that the sheer numbers, it's just that we already have a healthcare system that's stretched and stretched and stretched. And I think at a point where I think another kind of injury would really render it. I don't know what the right word is. I think it could lead to some major issues, and I think patients might potentially get really hurt or die because of that. And so I don't have a fix for that. I don't even have any really great solutions for that. That's my biggest worry as I enter the winter.
Let's move from COVID-19 to the flu. A new report from the CDC, new recommendations that seniors are being urged to get an extra strength flu shot this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different products out there that either have basically more of the vaccine, I guess, for the lack of a better word, just it's a higher dose. So the idea behind that is to generate a stronger response from your body, or it has an additive that kind of can boost your immune response to the dose. So, you know, the idea is to try to, for the most vulnerable patients, you know, which are generally most seasons with flu when we have high cases, it's patients over the age of 65 or who have a lot of comorbidity, other diseases, and other medical problems that, you know, require, you know, more intense treatment, whether it be hospitalization, being in the ICU, intensive care unit, or more risk for death. And so, you know, these recommendations coming out that just say senior citizens, those over the age of 65, should get that stronger dose or that augmented dose rather than just kind of the normal flu vaccine that's out there. From what I understand, at least I know CVS does this. I don't know if other places are doing this as well. If you sign up to get a flu vaccine, if it notes you're over the age of 65, we'll direct you to places where they have supply of that. But, you know, it's something probably to ask your doctor. And I want to preface this too, Fred, like a shot is better than no shot. So like if you're in a spot and we can do it and you're willing to get it, I mean, I'll give you the vaccine. You know, making sure you have something is better than the ambiguity of you may not having anything. So anything is better than nothing. But I mean, if you have the option and have the time to sort that out, something to consider.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, a new CDC FDA study finds that more young people are using e-cigarettes these days. What do you think of that?
Well, as a father of kids in middle school and high school, I'm distressed. You know, for a long time, we've seen reductions in teenagers that smoke and people that smoke in general. It's been a long-term downward trend over the last 20 or 30 years, which has been great. And really, that's been a part of a number of different, you know, restrictions and regulations about cigarettes, basically. And then we've had these, you know, for lack of a better term, e-cigarettes or vaping or, you know, lots of different terms for it. But that have become more prevalent with the idea that quote unquote, it's safer than cigarette smoke. And, you know, that first is ubiquitously not true. The second issue is that with a lot of these, there's flavors, and the flavors are about a much more attractive product, much more easier tolerated than the, like, just a pure cigarette smoke. So there's all these, like, bubblegum and fruity type flavors that make it more palatable for anybody, including teenagers. You've seen on the news, and there's all these cases of vaping causing these severe lung injuries that can be fatal for kids. And that to me is the most concerning thing, but it still seems like this is a bit of an unregulated morass. I mean, we can't drive down a highway where we don't see, you know, advertisements for, you know, all kinds of different things that I think, you know, while they're more legal and said to be more attractive than classic cigarettes, which, you know, cigarettes can't advertise anymore, you know, they still have equal amount of concerns and dangers. Marijuana and THC and CBD type products are legal now, and that's fine. But, you know, seeing these big billboards means that everybody's attracted to the marketing of that, not just the adults that it's intended for, but for younger children. And same thing with vaping and advertisements around that. It's regulated less than what it is for tobacco. And it clearly there's a link between limiting the advertising and the uptake amongst people younger than 18. So this stresses me a bit. I was just kind of Fred, in a touch of irony, I was joking to a colleague this week. And again, I want to emphasize my experience at St. Louis University Hospital is a bit different than other hospitals for a variety of reasons. But like, I was kind of joking, you know, I've been doing a lot of hospital work the last couple of months. I'm like, I have not seen, you know, a classic, just run-of-the-mill, what we call COPD exacerbation. So COPD is a lung disease related to smoking. And I haven't seen that in a couple of months. Now, they're still coming in. It's just by pure random luck. But I kind of got optimistic thinking about that for a minute, that because we've had such a reduction in the rates of smoking in the U.S. population over the last 20 years, that and you know, basically anybody that gets COPD, it's because they smoked. Not all smokers get COPD, but all COPDers smoke, is what I tell students all the time. I'm wondering if the incidence that will go down over time, which would be a great thing, because it's a terrible disease. And then you see stuff like this, you're like, well, we're just restarting again. It's just, you know, you've taken away one enemy and you now found another. And it just, it's annoying and it bothers me. And it just is so unnecessary.
Dr. Buchholz, thanks so much for your time again. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, Fred, thank you. It's always great to talk. And it's nice to talk about some other things other than COVID, too, which is nice. Not that COVID's not important, but it's nice to talk about some other stuff with you, too.
Dr. Fred Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health, St. Louis University Hospital. Coming up next on Health Matters, we'll get the latest on the monkeypox outbreak in the St. Louis area. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. You're listening to Health Matters on KMOX.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on KMOX.
Earlier this week, St. Louis County Department of Public Health announced they are the designated hub for monkeypox vaccinations, vaccinating more than 2,000 people since the outbreak began. KMOX's Maria Kina talked with Director of Communications Christopher Ave about eligibility and availability of the monkeypox vaccine and where the county stands with COVID-19.
We have partnered with clinics and health departments in the area and other organizations in order to reach those people who are most at risk for contracting this disease. Now, we know monkeypox is most often spread, at least in this particular outbreak, through sexual contact between men. And so our outreach efforts have really focused on those people who are most at risk for contracting the disease in this way. We have been to events. We have been to community organizations. Just at the Tower Grove Pride event a couple weeks back, that alone, we were able with our partners to vaccinate about 500 individuals. So we're very pleased with how the efforts are going so far. The state has made St. Louis County the hub for vaccinations for the St. Louis region. That includes the city of St. Louis, the county of St. Louis, and then St. Charles and Jefferson counties. Also, I should say that in terms of cases, St. Louis County so far has seen 26 people who have been confirmed to have monkeypox. May not sound like a lot, but that number is starting to rise more quickly than it did in the first couple of weeks of the outbreak. So it's something we're keeping a very close eye on. Again, we are reaching everyone who has monkeypox to make sure that we're able to vaccinate any close contacts of those individuals. And then we are using all of our efforts at our disposal, all of our partners in the area to reach the most vulnerable.
Christopher, I know last time you and I talked, you weren't getting a very large supply from the state. Has that changed? And also talk about the people who are most at risk. Are they automatically eligible or do they have to wait until they've had an exposure?
We have enough vaccine now in order to do the job that we've been entrusted to do, and that is to find the vulnerable, those people who are at risk for contracting monkeypox, and to get them vaccinated. So far, at least, although the vaccine supply nationwide is limited, so far we have not had problems waiting around for vaccine. As you know, the state supplies vaccine. They control the vaccine supply, but they have been responsive and have given us enough vaccine to do our jobs. As far as who is eligible now for the monkeypox vaccine, eligibility, it really stems from the CDC's definition of high-risk behavior. And so we are basically looking for people who have had multiple sexual partners in the recent past, or people who are sex workers, or people who have had anonymous sex in a public place. These are the kinds of people, again, who are most vulnerable, most likely to catch this disease. It is not, strictly speaking, a sexually transmitted disease, but monkeypox in this outbreak most often is spread through skin-to-skin, extended skin-to-skin contact. People who have monkeypox, they tend to get flu-like symptoms, fatigue, and often a rash. And the rash looks like sores or blisters or pimples. It often is on the body. And this sort of painful rash, this is the primary way scientists believe that monkeypox is spread, through close contact, skin to skin, with that rash.
I've had a few people that I've talked with that wanted to get vaccinated and did not, particularly in the gay community. Is that just kind of a wait and see right now?
We are limited by state guidelines as to who is eligible to receive the vaccination. But people, so being heterosexual or homosexual alone is not enough according to the state eligibility. You have to have had, or at least attest that you have had multiple sexual partners, or that you've had anonymous sex or sex at a public place, or that you are a sex worker. Those are, generally speaking, the eligibility requirements, but no one investigates this. You don't have to say exactly how you as an individual would be eligible. All you have to do is tell us in a clinical setting that, yes, you do fit the eligibility requirements. And as long as you attest to that, you can get a free vaccine.
While I have you, what's happening with COVID right now?
As you know, the big news is that we are offering the new bivalent booster shot, and this is a shot recommended for pretty much anyone who has had the primary dose of vaccine, and it's been at least a couple of months since you've had your last COVID shot. This is a booster shot that is specifically tailored to the Omicron variants, those most recent variants that seem to predominate in St. Louis County. So it's a very good step to get this booster, to give yourself the highest level of protection. We're pleased that we have had a good number of people who have come in and gotten that booster shot. As far as our cases have slowly fallen to about 130 to 135 new cases of COVID per day in St. Louis County. Of course, this is still a high level, but it's less high than it was a month or two ago. The problem is that winter is beckoning. You know, we're going to have the cold front here this week. And as the temperature drops, people tend to congregate indoors. And we know that people in large groups of people in close proximity indoors, that lends itself to the transmission of COVID. And so we do expect that cases may begin to rise again as the weather turns colder into the winter. That's another reason why we need to use the tools available to us. Get that booster if you qualify for it, and wear a mask if you're in a large group of people indoors. You don't know who has COVID and who doesn't. And given that community transmission is still pretty high in St. Louis County, it's a wise choice to wear a mask in those situations.
Statistically, nationwide, not necessarily in the St. Louis region, but people weren't going in as readily to get this new booster as they are the other one. They seemed a little bit more reluctant, at least for the people who got the vaccine in the first place. Are you seeing that in the county?
I do know that we saw a burst of interest in the booster and a good number of patients in the early days when the booster first came out last month. And we were heartened to see that. And we just need to keep getting that message to the public that this booster is a great tool to keep yourself and your family and your loved ones safe from COVID-19. Early studies suggest that this is more protective against the most common kind of COVID than the earlier booster. And for that reason, if you qualify to get this booster, you should.
Christopher Ave, Director of Communications for St. Louis County Health Department, thank you for being with us today on Health Matters.
KMOX's Maria Kina. Coming up next on Health Matters, we'll take a closer look at Terry Bradshaw's battle against two different types of cancer, including Merkel cell carcinoma. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. You're listening to Health Matters on KMOX.
Welcome back to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on KMOX.
Hall of Fame football player and TV analyst Terry Bradshaw says he's been battling two forms of cancer over the past year.
Terry Bradshaw told the NFL on Fox audience that people had been reaching out as of late to ask what was going on.
Last week on this show, I ran out of breath and Howie helped me up. And a lot of people are asking, what's wrong with me?
The 74-year-old now says he had been battling cancer.
In November, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. Surgery, treatment, as of today, I am bladder cancer free.
But the Hall of Fame NFLer then said he was diagnosed with skin cancer in March, which he also got removed.
Folks, I may not look like my old self, but I feel like my old self. I'm cancer free. I'm feeling great. And over time, I'm going to be back to where I normally am. So I appreciate your prayers and your concern.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
So let's find out a little bit more about that rare form of skin cancer. It's called Merkel cell carcinoma. Dr. Ryan Fields is a Washington University surgeon at Siteman Cancer Center. Dr. Fields, thanks for joining us. So just what is Merkel cell carcinoma?
So Merkel cell carcinoma is a type of skin cancer. It's a more rare or uncommon type of skin cancer that we see a lot of here at Siteman Cancer Center, but is pretty uncommon in the community, and people don't know as much about it. The common skin cancers, squamous cell and basal cell cancers, and melanoma are much more common. And if you had to describe Merkel cell carcinoma a little deeper, it acts more like melanoma in that it can be a more aggressive type of cancer that does have the ability to spread and cause more harm than some of the other more indolent cancers of the skin like squamous and basal cell cancers.
What causes Merkel cell?
Merkel cell carcinoma is actually a fascinating cancer. It's one of the few cancers that has a virus associated with it. So about half of the cases are actually caused by a pretty common virus that you and me and almost everyone are exposed to. But if it happens to get into a particular skin cell in a very particular way that's somewhat random and rare, it can cause the formation of these Merkel cell cancers. The second way that it can form is like other skin cancers, and that's from exposure to ultraviolet light, commonly from the sun, but also tanning bed use. Things like that can increase the risk of Merkel cell cancer.
What's it look like? Are there symptoms that you can identify?
Yeah, you know, for every skin lesion, we always preach the same sort of things for concern, and that follows these A, B, C, D, E's is the way people remember it for skin lesions. So if anything's asymmetric, kind of not a circular shape, one side doesn't look like the other, the B is for borders, irregular borders, C is for color, if something's a dark or pigmented or flesh-colored, or if it has multiple colors within the same lesion. If the diameter is bigger than 6 millimeters or about the size of a pencil eraser, or really importantly, the E is for evolution. If a lesion has been changing over time, so even something that a patient may say, hey, that's a birthmark, it's been there my whole life. But if it starts to grow or change or evolve, that's something that's concerning. And Merkel cell is no different. It may not be dark black like a pigmented lesion or a mole that people think of for melanoma. Sometimes a Merkel cell cancer will be more kind of flesh or red colored, but will be growing or enlarging, and that's the concerning sign.
What are the different stages of Merkel cell carcinoma?
Merkel cell carcinoma is staged like other skin cancers in that stage one and stage two are confined to the skin where they started. They haven't spread. When we diagnose a Merkel cell cancer, we oftentimes will perform a procedure to evaluate the lymph nodes to see if it's spread to the lymph nodes. The lymph nodes are part of the immune system and are a common site for a cancer to first spread. And if it has spread to the lymph nodes, it would be a stage three cancer. And then if it's spread beyond the lymph nodes into other organs, say the liver or the lungs, beyond the lymph nodes, that would be stage four cancer.
What's the treatment for these?
Merkel cell carcinoma has been turned on its head with respect to treatment and prognosis over the past 5 years, and that's because of the advent of immunotherapy, where we can give patients a type of medication that get their own body's immune system to fight their own cancer. And Merkel cell carcinoma is almost the poster child for this type of treatment. So when Merkel cell carcinoma is confined to the skin or the lymph node, surgery treatment involves surgery. When Merkel cell carcinoma has spread or is more advanced within the lymph nodes or beyond the lymph nodes to other organs is when we start to use these immunotherapies. And they've been unbelievably successful in treating a cancer that was at one point totally untreatable. We also will selectively use radiation in Merkel cell cancer because it is a tumor that's very sensitive to radiation therapy.
And the dangers of Merkel cell can be what?
It's a very aggressive cancer, not unlike melanoma or pancreas cancer, aggressive forms of breast cancer. So it's a tumor that once it starts and can be treated is obviously fantastic, but it can be aggressive. It can spread to other organs and is a cancer that, again, has new and exciting treatment options, but is still considered an aggressive malignancy.
We're talking with Dr. Ryan Fields. Dr. Fields is a WashU surgeon at Siteman Cancer Center. Dr. Fields, again, what are the risk factors for Merkel cell carcinoma?
So the risk factors for Merkel cell carcinoma, it tends to be a cancer that's in older population of patients with chronic sun exposure. It is a cancer that's higher risk in patients whose immune systems are suppressed. That could be somebody that's had a solid organ transplant or is on chemotherapy for a different type of cancer. And that's because of this association with this Merkel cell virus that can cause the cancer that our immune system may be able to suppress. But if the immune system is suppressed for other reasons, it can these tumors can form. So, like other skin cancers, though, chronic sun UV light exposure, tanning bed use increases the risk.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that, Dr. Fields. Tell us about some prevention methods.
So I think as we're kind of coming out of the summer months, it's still important to recognize that UV sun exposure, tanning bed use, those sorts of things are the main risk factors for any type of skin cancer. So the things that we can do to still enjoy the outdoors, still get the benefits of sunlight for our mental health and for vitamin D and bone health, is that we can wear sun protective clothing and sunblock when necessary. A lot of people will use a moisturizer on their face, on their head for men who have any kind of baldness on the back of their neck and their ears that has sunblock in it. That's always a great thing. To avoid the sun during kind of peak hours of 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. if you can avoid it is helpful. And then if you are out and about, just especially doing an activity, say by a pool, if you're on vacation, that sort of thing, is just wearing sunblock that you put on appropriately and often enough. And I think the number one message that you really want to put out there to especially young people is really avoid tanning beds. Those are a carcinogen, no different than smoking cigarettes in terms of their risk of developing skin cancer.
Anything else you want listeners to know?
I think one thing that's really nice to point out is that somebody like Terry Bradshaw, who's obviously received excellent care and has been very public about his battles with cancer, a lot of this points to his cancers being picked up on early detection and with screening programs. I know the NFL has a big program. You see some of their advertisements talking about cancer screening and the importance of cancer screening, especially as we come out of the pandemic. So whether that's mammograms, colonoscopies, PSA tests, cancer screenings are effective in catching cancers earlier when they're at a more curable form that would be no different than what I think Terry Bradshaw most likely experienced with his skin cancer being picked up by his healthcare professionals.
But it's not a death sentence.
It is not a death sentence. What was a death sentence, if it had spread not just 5 years ago, is now a cancer that is unbelievably and effectively treatable, sometimes even curable with some of these therapies.
Dr. Fields, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Dr. Ryan Fields is a Washington University surgeon at Siteman Cancer Center. Coming up next on Health Matters, we'll take a closer look at breast cancer awareness during this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. You're listening to Health Matters on KMOX.
Welcome back to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on KMOX.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Here to tell us more about that is Dr. Arif Kamal. Dr. Kamal is the Chief Patient Officer for the American Cancer Society. Dr. Kamal, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's just start off and find out where we are when it comes to the death rate for women with breast cancer.
Well, I think there's a lot of good news here. I mean, because of the advancements from more and earlier breast cancer screening through mammography and review of family history, plus a lot of really great treatments now, particularly for some of the more aggressive breast cancers, we're seeing the death rate from breast cancer fall precipitously for all populations. Now, there still remain disparities. For example, Black women still have a higher rate of dying from breast cancer by about 41% versus white women. And so although their death rate has dropped, it's not dropped as much as other populations. What we're also seeing is a somewhat worrisome increase in breast cancer among younger women, particularly in their 30s. And that tracks with some other changes happening in other cancers, too. And, you know, a lot of research is still needed to understand why that is.
Let's go back to the racial disparities. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, we historically thought this was about access to screening mammography and sort of finding cancers early. And, you know, there's a good news, bad news story here, which is on the good news front, 75% of all women, including Black women, are up to date with their screening mammograms. That's really good news. And yet at the same time, about one in four women is not, which is some of the reason why we're seeing, continued breast cancer death. Importantly, in the last 2 years, because of COVID, we estimate about 2 million women of all different backgrounds have missed routine and recommended screening mammograms. And what we worry about is that that's going to lead to an increased death rate seen in the next handful of years because of people missing mammograms and because of a later stage diagnosis. Now, as it relates specifically to the disparity around death, I think in Black women, where we tend to focus is actually about how management occurs after the diagnosis itself, meaning that a woman of color gets diagnosed with breast cancer. Well, what happens next? Well, one is we know that she is less likely to receive recommended standard of care. And what I mean by that is if there's a textbook that says a woman should get this specific treatment, that a Black woman is less likely to receive that than a white woman. And that has, you know, potential many reasons for why that occurs. Some of that may be logistical in nature related to costs or other things. But there's also, you know, concern that there may be biases within the health system that sort of play into that. But you know, no specific issue yet identified, but an area certainly of exploration. And then the last piece is really around clinical trials. And when we think about clinical research, that's really the time where the greatest and the best, the cutting edge treatments are made available to patients even before they go on market. And what we know is that Black women are less likely to be offered enrollment in clinical trials. Now, there is a complicated history in the United States for populations of color and participation in clinical trials, and that's certainly understood. But what we don't want that to lead to is oncologists, cancer doctors, not even asking a woman of color whether she would be interested because of presupposing that she wouldn't have an interest because of that complicated history. And what's also important to note is that when a Black woman is offered participation in a clinical trial, she is just as likely as a white woman to actually enter that trial. So really the disparity exists not at the entrance to the trial, but really the offering itself.
So what is the American Cancer Society calling on to happen?
Well, a lot of things. You know, first, I think it's really important to get the word out for patients and their families to discuss openly and honestly their family history of cancer. You know, I, as an oncologist, see patients all the time where they tell me, you know, oh, yeah, grandma had something or great uncle so on had something. I don't know what it is. And I push them and say, well, go find out. The reason for that is that there is a risk of breast cancer that goes up in a family, even if it's not breast cancer that's running in that family. For example, we know that ovarian, endometrial, colorectal, and even stomach cancer all track with breast cancer. So you could have a great uncle Larry who had stomach cancer and a great aunt Bertha who had endometrial cancer, and you know, the niece or the great niece of that person could be at high risk of breast cancer. And that because of that risk, you know, doctors may recommend that you get a screening mammogram in your 30s instead of your 40s. So it's really important to understand your family history and share it with your clinical team. We've also at the ACS started a campaign this month called Grab Your Girls. The idea is to use kind of a little bit of a funny name to really put attention out there for women to connect with their neighbors, friends, and family, to really think about getting a screening mammogram as a social event, something where they can cheerlead each other on, problem solve together, and celebrate, you know, when everyone gets it done. It can also happen virtually, right? Someone doesn't have to live next to you to be able to get on social media or call them or text them and say, hey, I just got my mammogram. What about you? And being able to push on each other is really important. And I think as we come out of COVID, where so many women missed the screening mammograms, and where people are looking for social connection, making sure you're up to date with your health screening, particularly cancer screening, is a really good way to get connected back to friends and family and do it, you know, in something that helps your overall health as well.
We're talking with Dr. Arif Kamal. Dr. Kamal is the American Cancer Society's chief patient officer. Dr. Kamal, let's talk about some of the latest treatments for breast cancer. What's new out there?
Well, so many great things. I mean, one, it's important to emphasize that treatments and their side effects look very different today than they used to. I think when people imagine what chemotherapy looks like, they may think about a family member who 10, 15 years ago had significant fatigue, you know, tiredness, nausea, lost their hair, really couldn't go to work, and so on. And that's shifting pretty quickly now, where we're using more personalized treatments that have slightly less or different side effects than what we might classically think about, where people are continuing to go to work. We're also moving away from giving as many people chemotherapy, because what we realize is that with really good surgical techniques and radiation, that for many women, we can avoid chemotherapy altogether. Now, all that's predicated on the idea that we find the cancer early, and the only way we can find it early is if women get their screening mammograms.
What are some of the warning signs of breast cancer?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, for some women, it's they feel something abnormal in their breast. And I think it's important to talk about that for a minute. So I mentioned the importance of talking to your clinical team about your family history. It's also important to bring up to your doctors about the potential benefit of a self-breast exam. And the reason I say that is because every woman is different. And so, you know, not many organizations, including ourselves, say that every woman out there should be doing a self-breast exam. But what we mean is that women should be talking to their doctors about, what is my normal breast supposed to feel like? Are there cysts in there or changes that are associated with my cycle that means that we expect some changes, even lumps, to happen over time? And what do I do if I feel that? Was that expected or truly unexpected? It's something I should call you about. So for those women, oftentimes it's a painless lump, you know, sometimes the size of a pea or maybe a little bit larger, oftentimes generally best felt with the tips of the fingers, anywhere in the breast or even under the underarm or in the armpit. And what I would caution, you know, everyone to say is, you know, if you are, you know, in the shower or somewhere else and you kind of know what your breasts normally feel like, you feel it and it feels something different, and, you know, and it's certainly something that you and your doctor have talked about, to, you know, give them a call and let them know. And that might, you know, spur a mammogram or an ultrasound or some other radiologic event.
Dr. Kamal, your main message to women is what?
Get your screening mammogram today. Talk to your friends and neighbors and family now. Recognize that though it has been potentially missed for the last 2 years, you know, the horse isn't out of the barn, right? There is a time now to be able to catch up, because cancer takes, for most cancers, takes years to grow. So there's not this issue that says, oh my gosh, we missed this window of opportunity and we can't catch up. So my message to everyone is, yep, we're coming out of the pandemic. Grab your girls, grab your friends, your families, your neighbors, you know, get back on track with this, and we'll keep any sort of, you know, reversal in the progress we've made in breast cancer from happening just by getting everyone back into their mammograms.
Dr. Kamal, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Arif Kamal is the chief patient officer for the American Cancer Society. And that's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If there are parts of this show you want to hear again, please log on to KMOX.com and look under the podcast section. Or you can download the Odyssey app in favor of KMOX. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Please join me again next week for another edition of Health Matters on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.